Hello, hello, hello. Brilliant. I love Family Services. Peter Martina, thank you so much for being here, and great to hear those things, and we will be praying. It's great to gather, isn't it, as a church family. I would like a whoop from the PA if you're in primary school, secondary school, or college. Go. Paw. Again. Whoop. If you're in your 20s, 30s, not bad. Where am I at? 40s, 50s. Woo! Yes. 60s, 70s?
Yeah.
Yeah. 80s, 90s?
Yes. Yes.
Brilliant. Brilliant. It's so good to gather together as a church family. And just for the next few moments, we're going to have a brief look at that passage that Peter read to us. The message is really, really simple. It's this. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss what life is really all about. Don't miss it. As we've been going through John's gospel, we have been thinking, or John has been trying to convince us, that Jesus is the Son of God, and by believing in him, we might have life. And he does not want us to miss it. Don't miss it. When I was 18 or 19 years old, or at least when Lisa and I were around that age, we took a trip to a place called Bosnia Herzegovina. Now, can anyone say that? Bosnia Herzegovina. We went to a particular place called Chaplina. Look, there it is on the map. So you've got Italy just to the left. Whee! Looking at Elia at the back. And across the side, you can see Bosnia Herzegovina. I went to Chaplina. And what we did there was we traveled around and we visited various different people simply to pray with them. There was Lisa and myself and a few others. Now, would you like to see a photo of Lisa and us as 18, 19-year-olds. Here we go. Are you ready for this? Whoa! Exactly. Look at that couple. That's Mostar. But particularly, we stayed with this family. What was most notable about this couple was how happy they were. They were so, so happy. They had worked hard their whole life, really hard. He was a fisherman. I'm not sure what the lady did. That was Andre. I've forgotten the name of the lady. Andre was a fisherman. He had massive hands. You can see his hands on my shoulder, just how big they were. Like holding basketballs for this guy was like us holding tennis balls. They were absolutely massive. But they didn't have much to show for their life. Their house was really simple. They didn't have a car. They didn't have any children. And they were incredibly happy. Andre, on the left there, had a smile that went from one ear to the other. And he went around. You could know when he was around because all you could hear was, Slava Bogu! Slava Bogu! Like this, which means praise God, praise God. Can you say Slava Bogu? Slava Bogu, praise God, praise God. Whenever I would walk into a room where he was, he would grab his massive hands and he would pull my hair like this and he would put it on my shoulder. I feel like my back was going to break. And he would go, Slava Bogu, praise God, Slava Bogu. When I was chatting with the pastor, I would ask him about this guy and I would say, look, why does he, when I walk into a room, grab my hair like this and my shoulder and go, Slava Bogu? Well, it was because Bernard the pastor said, you know what he's doing? He's so thrilled that you are so young and you're a Christian. He's so thrilled that you're so young and you're a Christian. He was in his mid to late 70s when we met him, and only in his early 70s did he come to know the Lord Jesus for himself. He spent his whole life looking and searching and longing. And when he hit his early 70s, he met Bernard, he came to the church, he started to discover truths about Jesus, and slowly the Lord Jesus came into his life and he had found what he was looking for. How easy it is to live our whole lives and miss the point. Don't miss it. Don't miss what life is all about. The crowds in our story are pressing in because they want to find Jesus. He's just fed them with two loaves and a few fish, or five loaves and two, I can never remember which way around it is. He'd done this amazing miracle. 5,000 of them had been fed and they were looking for Jesus. And Jesus says to them, look, you're not looking for me because I did an amazing thing. As Tom Ward was reminding us last week, you're not looking for me because I'm the creator. You're not looking for me because I've got compassion and I can give you what you really need. You're looking for me because you want bread. That's it. They were missing the point. In verse 33, they'll ask for bread again. And in verse 66, when they start to realize what Jesus is actually saying, that he is the bread of life, they will reject him and they'll walk away. Don't miss it. How can we make sure that we don't miss it? Well, I want you to look at verse 27. Anna, can you come and read that for us again? Come here. That's it.
Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal of approval.
Brilliant. Don't labor for food that perishes. Now, I'm going to become Baker Baraniak. What do you think? Looking good? Let's have a whoop if we're looking good. Great. It's going to fall off any second. I'm going to kind of walk around like this. And I've got some bread. Now, the thing we need to know about food that perishes is that it's still good food. Would anyone like to come up and taste this? Wait, come on then, come up. This is normal bread. Come and have a look. Come up. You can't say me and then sit down there and I'll do it. Go on, grab a bit, chew it. Is it good? Lisa, come and taste the food. Make the illustration work. Tastes good? It tastes good. That's the thing. Food, perishable food, that Jesus says don't labor for, is good food. I'm going to take this off because I feel like I'm going to fall off anyway. Perishable food is good. It is a good thing. Now, Jesus is not just talking about food. He's talking about all those earthly urgencies, like eating, those earthly priorities, all the material things in this world that are really good. That's what he's talking about. Let me give you a few examples. He says, don't labor for food that perishes. He's not just talking about food. He's talking about all these kind of things. Sweets and treats. What do we think about sweets and treats, guys? Good. Jesus says they are a good thing. Friday in our house is treat day. So we pick up the girls from school, we hit the train, and normally I've got some kind of sweet or treat. It's the weekend. We should celebrate Friday. It's treat day. Sweets and treats are a good thing. What else we got on there? Xboxes, computer games, technology, Xboxes, longing for the Xboxes. It's a good thing. Gucci, clothes, academic achievement, getting those A grades, getting those promotions, having the lifestyle that we've always dreamed of. Jesus says these things are good things. The problem is, what he says is don't labor for them because they perish. Because they perish. You think of all those things we work really hard for. What happens every same day, every week? What happens in your street? Bin man. Bin man. The bin man should remind us of all those things that we labor for, we're going to throw them out one day. Who enjoys a tip run? Put your hand up if you enjoy a tip run. Sue Morgan, her eyes lit up at the thought of a tip run. Those days where every month, every 6 weeks, every two months or something, we fill our car up with all the junk that we've been meaning to get rid of. And where do we go? We go to the tip and we see TV screens and fridges and skyboxes and DVD players and all this stuff that we labor for. What do we see, though, at the tip? It's perishing. It's perishing. Jesus says, don't labor for the food that perishes. When we have a bin run or a tip run or whatever, We should remember that in this world, these earthly priorities that we have, these earthly urgencies, they all perish. They're good things, great things, but they perish. What does Jesus instead say in verse 27? Have a look. I've got it on the screen. Don't labor for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you, for on him God the Father has set his seal. There is not just perishable food in the world. There's another type of food, eternal food. Now this, what's the name of this bread again, Lisa? Ancient multigrain. Now for the eternal food, we couldn't quite get the Ancient of Days here personally. We've got the ancient multigrain. Anyone want to taste? Polly, you came up last time. Sit back down. Isla, come up. Take a bite of that. What do you reckon? Is it good? Go on, just go for it. Rip it off. That's how good the ancient multigrain is. It's tough stuff. Good stuff? Brilliant stuff? Yes. There is another type of food, an eternal food that we should labor for. What does it say? The Son of Man will give to you, for on him God the Father has set his seal. This eternal food is heaven sent, stamped, approved, sealed bread for life. This is the good stuff. This is the best stuff. This food doesn't perish, but this food lasts. Who would not want this food? The crowd are thinking that. The crowd are thinking, we want that food, Jesus. And they say, what labor must we do to get that food? Now, you've got to think. Now, I haven't set the scene very well here because they're in a synagogue. They're sitting round. This is almost like a church service. Maybe they've read a bit of Exodus and the manna coming from heaven. And they say, what must we do to get that kind of food, Jesus? And they're expecting Jesus to say, Old Testament law. Go back to Moses. They're all sitting in their pews thinking he's going to preach on the Pentateuch. Come on, Jesus, let's have a great sermon on the Pentateuch and about Moses. But what does Jesus say? He says this, believe in the one that God has sent. Believe in the one that God has sent. Now, we're going to come back to this in a second, but the crowd are thinking, wait, Jesus, what exactly are your credentials? They want some ID. They're going, what university did you go to, Jesus? This is confusing. We're expecting Moses, and you're talking to us about believing. What credentials have you got? What seminary did you actually go to? What mentors did you listen to? What books are you reading, Jesus? The way they ask for those credentials is by saying, give us a sign. If you look in your Bibles, it'll say, give us a sign that we might see you and believe you. There's a legitimate concern. Whenever there was a rabbi who stood up and they start talking, they could ask for a sign. What credentials have you got? And Jesus doesn't give them any. He simply corrects their thinking. They give the example of Moses. You know, our fathers ate manna in the wilderness and that came down. Are you a bit like Moses? Can you rain down bread from heaven like Moses did? Like, what exactly are your credentials? Are you any better than him? And Jesus doesn't give them a sign, but corrects their thinking. He says, when Moses gave you bread from heaven, he didn't give you anything at all. When you had all the law and all the prophets, that was not what you needed. In fact, if you're listening carefully to Moses, if you're listening really carefully, you would believe me, because everything that Moses wrote about is about me. The real bread of God, the real place you find life, is not in these perishable earthly things, but it's in me. What does he say? Have a look. I've lost my Bible. It's gone. No, it's back here. He says, the true bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. The true bread of God is he. It's a person. He who has come down from heaven and gives life not just to Israel, not just to the select few, but to the world. That's the bread of God. Jesus could not be more clearer. Don't labor for these earthly priorities, these earthly urgencies. Labor for me. I am the bread of life. I'm where life is found. In other words, life is not found when we make that first cry of gasp of air as we're born into this world and we make that first cry of independence on our own. That's not life. Life is not found when we learn to ride a bike or walk or feed ourselves. Life's not found when we get out of school and we're able to pass our driving test and we finally get on the road. Life's not found when we get the career that we want or the spouse or the home or the lifestyle. Life is found, the bread of God, is when you come and find Jesus for the first time. The bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. And Jesus is saying, you see what Jesus is saying? Don't labor for your earthly priorities. Labor to come to know me, because that's life. The bread of God is He who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Just want to finish thinking about, what does it really mean to believe? When we see the word believe, we often think, oh, that's just some kind of acknowledgement or some kind of knowledge that we exist. Like, I believe in Australia exists. That's just kind of some academic knowledge. When Jesus says believe, he hasn't got that in mind. It's interesting, isn't it? When they ask him, what must we do? What labor do we have? Jesus says, belief. Believe. In other words, for Jesus, labor, work, and belief are almost synonymous. They're the same thing. In other words, Jesus could have said, don't believe in the food that perishes, but believe in the food that endures to eternal life. He could have been saying exactly the same. He could have changed those words around and said the same thing. Labor and belief are the same thing. In other words, let me put it like this. This bit, might be losing a few of you here, but anyway. Faith and belief is this. The way I kind of sum it up is this. Our belief are the actions, the labor we take in light of what is most precious to us. Just think about that for a second. Faith and belief are the actions, the labor that we take in light of what is most precious to us. So think about those sweets and treats. If that is most precious to you, sweets and treats, your labor and your life will reflect your faith in that. It will change all your priorities. My day is about getting sweets and treats. I'm going to order everything around it. If what's most precious to you is a career or an academic achievement, then your labor in life, everything will be ordered in order to get that one thing that is most precious. You'll put your faith in that thing, and your actions and your labor will reflect what is most precious to you. If your most precious thing is a lifestyle, then you will order everything in your life to make sure you get that lifestyle. That's what faith is. It's the actions, the labor we take in light of what is most precious to us. Or as Simon Cowell put it, what's the dream, guys? I think I'm going to turn many of you off now, but we watched Britain's Got Talent last night, a whole episode of Britain's Got Talent. But what I noticed was Simon Cowell, whenever anyone gets up on the stage, any contestant, he asks each of them, what's the dream, guys? In other words, he's asking, what's your faith in? What do you want? What are you laboring for? Why are you here? And they all go, I just want to be really famous. And we all go, oh dear, terrible. In fact, the worst ones are the more funny ones with Britain's Got Talent, aren't they? But they're up there laboring, sweating, practicing, humiliating themselves, because their faith is in something that they're going to get. What's the dream? And in our lives, we have to ask ourselves the same question. What's the dream, guys? What are we believing in? What is most precious to us? What are we laboring for? Jesus says, don't believe in these earthly priorities, these earthly urgencies. Don't make them the dream. Why? They perish. We throw them out. We lose them. They deteriorate. What does he say? Labor for, believe in the one who comes down from heaven and who gives life to the world. Make him the dream. Make him the top priority. Make him the thing that is most precious to you. When you see him as the most precious thing, all the other priorities will fall into place. You will adjust all your life, your career, your family, absolutely everything around making Jesus center. That's what he's asking for. He's asking that we might see him as the most precious, the most valuable, the one thing in all the world that is worth going for. He is the pearl of great price. You know the parable? The one who's willing to sell absolutely everything in order to attain. He's saying that. The crowd, it's interesting, isn't it? You can eat the food that Jesus has performed the miracle by and totally miss the point of the person who's given it to you. And the problem is, as human beings, as people born into this world, we have darkened eyes, darkened understanding. We do not see who Jesus is. He could do a miracle in front of our face and we not recognize him. Faith, believing in Jesus, is when the eyes of our hearts are enlightened to finally see who Jesus really is, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the judge, the ruler, the one who will come back in absolute triumphant roar, who will judge each and every one of us, the one who came as a virgin, through a virgin, and grew and lived and died in your place to save you, the one who truly loves you, the one who truly cares for you, the one who time and time again will forgive you of your sins because he's paid for it all. Are our eyes enlightened to the reality of who the Lord Jesus really is? When Jesus says, don't labor for earthly things, he's saying, labor for me. See me as the most precious, most valuable thing in all the universe. When we see him like that, we begin to feed on him. All our other priorities come around and we begin to get life. The bread of God is he who has come down from heaven and who gives life to the world. Let me pray. Father, we thank you so much. We thank you so much that as a church family, we can come around this incredible story. Lord, I pray in our own lives that you would enlighten our hearts. May we see Jesus for the treasure that he really is. May we see him as the champion and king and ruler of the entire cosmos. May we see him as the one we were created by and created for. May he be the one that dictates our life and our priorities. Lord, thank you that you care for us so deeply. Thank you that you love us so much that you're willing to plunge into this world to save and to redeem us from all of our sin and all of our filth and all of our rebellion. Thank you that we are clothed in your righteousness. And Lord, may we in our lives believe in you, put trust in you, give everything to you. May we feed on you as the eternal one who gives life. So Lord, we thank you for this story. May we give us eyes and hearts to see the reality of King Jesus. Amen.